తం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాద సహసరితా శ్రీ విశాఖాంబితాశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే టెక్స్ట్ 56 దుఃఖేషు అనుద్విగ్నమనా సుఖేషు విగత స్పృహ వీతరాగ భయ క్రోధ స్థిత ధీర్మునిరుచ్యతే వన్ హూ ఇస్ నాట్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్ ఇన్ మైండ్ ఈవెన్ అమిడ్స్ట్ ద త్రీ ఫోల్డ్ మిజరీస్ or related when there is happiness and who is free from attachment, fear and anger is called the sage of steady mind. The word muni means one who can agitate his mind in various ways for mental speculation without coming to a factual conclusion. So this is the general meaning of the word muni. Generally this is the meaning of a muni. It is said that every muni has a different angle of vision. And unless a muni differs from other munis, he cannot be called a muni in the strict sense of the term. Nasav rishiryasya matam na bhinnam. One is not considered to be a rishi. In this context, a rishi and muni are synonymous. Muni in the sense of a mananashila, one who is very thoughtful, one who thinks, one who tries to rationally put together and derive various, abstract various principles from the phenomenal world. So anyway, that's just a regular ordinary muni or an ordinary rishi. But sthita dhir muni, as mentioned herein by the Lord, is different from an ordinary muni. So you have an ordinary muni and a sthita dhir muni. The sthita dhir muni is always in Krishna consciousness, for he has exhausted all his business of creative speculation. So sthitadhi muni has obtained the highest perfection of spiritual life. He has attained full-fledged Krishna consciousness, kevala bhakti. So he has progressed, he has attained the highest perfection, love of Krishna. He is directly perceiving the Supreme Lord. He is perceiving his own swarup. These are the primary meanings of the shlokas that are describing one who is situated in samadhi. Primarily they refer to, ultimately, these are the ultimate meaning of a sage of a steady mind. Secondarily they can also refer to a person who has moved from bhakti mishra nishkama karma to bhakti mishra yoga in the indirect process. So some of the acharyas, they take this section to refer to a person who has graduated from bhakti mishra nishkama karma to bhakti mishra jnana. However, that is not the ultimate meaning of it. As Srila Baladev Vidya Bhushan explains in his commentary to chapter 12, in chapter 12 from text 13 to 20, in chapter 12, text 13 to 20, Krishna will start describing the qualities of his devotees. Advaishta, Sarvabhuta, and say that they don't envy any living entity and so on. It goes from 13 all the way to 19, and then text 20 also. So there, in Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu's commentary on that, he explains that even though there are three levels of sadhakas, sanishtha, parinishtita, nirapeksha. Nirapeksha is one who is engaging in kevala bhakti. Parinishtitas, they are primarily engaged in bhakti yoga, like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, like that. And they slightly engage in karma for the sake of doing public welfare. And the sanishtas, or the swanishtas, they are engaging in bhakti mishra nishkama karma, and they are moving up to bhakti mishra jnana and so on. Okay. So he comments in that section that these qualities are fully manifested in nirapeksha Vaishnavas, in those engaged in kevala bhakti. Secondarily, they, and then by gradation, they are manifested in the parinishtitas and in the swanishtas. So primarily they refer to the nirapekshas, in those engaged in kevala bhakti. Secondarily, they refer to those engaged in the type of devotional service exhibited by parinishtitas. Tertially, they refer to swanishtas, who are engaged in bhakti mishra nishkama karma. So we understand from that even though Krishna is explaining all these different qualities, they primarily refer to one who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Prabhupada is giving the ultimate meaning of these. So when Arjuna is asking, what are the symptoms of one in samadhi? Now, one could be in samadhi having moved from bhakti mishra karma to bhakti mishra jnana, or to bhakti mishra yoga. That is one level of samadhi. But that is nothing compared to the samadhi of a person who has attained kevala bhakti. Because one who has attained kevala bhakti, he is internally seeing the spiritual world. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. In their hearts, they are constantly seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead and serving Him internally. And that a mundane person cannot see that. So Arjuna's question about a person who is situated in samadhi, and Krishna's answer to that, ultimately speaking, it refers to that person. And that is the meaning Prabhupada is giving here. Whereas you will see the other acharyas, generally the other acharyas, they are simply talking about a person who has come to the platform of Jnana Yoga. But this is the ultimate meaning. Chittadeva Muni is always in Krishna consciousness, for he has exhausted all his business of creative speculation.
Sorry, which is it then?
I'm looking at text 56. He is called Prashanta Nishesha Manorathantara, or one who has surpassed the stage of mental speculations and has come to the conclusion that Lord Shri Krishna or Vasudeva is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabhaha. He is called a Muni fixed in mind. So he has exhausted all his business of creative speculation. Now, creative speculation is a very glorious value. It is a very valuable asset in the modern world. The more innovative, more creative you are, the better you are considered to be.
Critical analysis.
Yeah.
The main theme in the universities for PhDs.
Yeah. Think on your own. Discover something different. Contribute to the world. Let us all unitedly help. So the whole world is some sort of open source education project. Everybody is contributing. This is the social constructionist model of education. But in the Vedic system, creativity is considered to be a drawback, a sign of great weakness. Anything that comes from your head is referred to with great distaste. Sva kapola kalpita. It is emanated from your forehead. It means it's useless, it's good for nothing. It's the exact opposite. Because the idea is, God is perfect. And God has expanded himself in the form of Vedic literature, in the form of sound, which is also perfect. So when that is available, what is the use of your thinking? In the absence of a perfect source of knowledge, then creativity becomes very important. Because if everything is dark, anyone who has discovered some light is glorious. But in the presence of the sun, if you try to shine some torch, it's useless. So they consider Vedic literature to be like that sun. It provides all knowledge, material, spiritual. So what more do you want? You don't need to do anything. You don't need to think differently. There's no need of thinking differently. So anyone who thinks differently is severely criticized. So in fact, between Ramanujacharya and followers of Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya goes to great length to prove that his version is in line with the predecessors and Shastra. He repeatedly goes on saying, my version is not something coming from me. It is in line. Whereas your version does not have support of the predecessors. You are speaking something new. New is a bad word in Vedantic culture. New is bad. It's a bad word. He's speaking something new. That means he's a bad guy. He's gone off crazy. He is. You don't speak anything new, because if you have access to perfect knowledge, then anyone who says anything new is axiomatically understood to be defective. It's understood to be defective. So, Sthitadhimuni, he has exhausted his business of creative speculation. He's given up. He's given up all these things. And even in the Vedic field, there is a system of jnana where you try to understand how and what the Vedic scriptures mean and how they are correct. That is philosophical speculation. That is philosophical speculation. That is a useful mental speculation. But he has transcended even that. He has even transcended that. One who has surpassed the stage of mental speculations and has come to the conclusion that Lord Shri Krishna or Vasudeva is everything. This happens after several lifetimes. If one takes the indirect process, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha Bahunam Janmanavante Gyanavan Maam Prapadyate. After several lifetimes, a person in prop who has understood the conclusion and meaning of Vedic teachings, he surrenders to Krishna, knowing that Vasudeva is the cause of everything. So he is called a muni fixed in mind. So he is given up creative speculation, he is given up even helpful mental speculation. He is even given up that. Such a fully Krishna conscious person is not at all disturbed by the onslaughts of the threefold miseries. For he accepts all miseries as the mercy of the Lord, thinking himself only worthy of more trouble due to his past misdeeds. And he sees that his miseries by the grace of the Lord are minimized to the lowest. So this is a direct reference to a statement in the 10th canto. Statement made by Lord Brahma to Krishna. That person who considers all the miseries of his life to have been reduced by Krishna's causeless mercy, it becomes his rightful claim to attain the spiritual kingdom. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatmakritam vipakam. He considers all the miseries are due to his own misdeeds. Exactly as how Prabhupada writes here. He accepts all miseries as the mercy of the Lord, thinking himself only worthy of more trouble due to his past misdeeds. And he sees that his miseries by the grace of the Lord are minimized to the lowest. So he is not affected by such miseries. He is not affected. Anudvignamana, dukkhesho anudvignamana, because of that. Sukhesho vigatasprihah. He is not elated when there is happiness. Similarly, when he is happy, he gives credit to the Lord, thinking himself unworthy of the happiness. So he doesn't consider that he is worthy of any happiness. he realizes it is due only to the Lord's grace that he is in such a comfortable condition and able to render better service to the Lord. And for the service of the Lord, he is always daring and active and is not influenced by attachment or aversion. Vidaraga bhaya krodha. Attachment means accepting things for one's own sense gratification. And detachment is the absence of such sensual attachment. But one fixed in Krishna consciousness has neither attachment nor detachment. So his life is not built upon the principle of attachment. I should acquire more and more things. His life is not built upon the principle of detachment. I should get rid of everything. His life is built upon serving Krishna. Because his life is dedicated in the service of the Lord. Consequently, he is not at all angry when his attempts are unsuccessful. Success or no success, a Krishna conscious person is always steady in his determination. So whether he is materially successful or materially unsuccessful, a Krishna conscious person is always steady in his determination to be Krishna conscious, to continue in his Krishna consciousness. Yes, sarvatra anabhis, 57. Yes, sarvatra anabhisnehas. Tattat prapya shubha shubham nabhinandatinadveshtitasya pragya pratishthira. In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil you may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. There is always some upheaval in the material world, which may be good or evil. One who is not agitated by such material upheavals, who is unaffected by good and evil, is to be understood to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. So there is always something going on in the material world. Some upheaval. Upheaval means something which is some phenomenon. Something which attracts public attention. So, sthita pragya, samadhistha, a person situated in the perfection of Krishna consciousness, or one who is fixed up in Krishna consciousness, is not agitated by these things. He does not say, this country is a good country, that country is a bad country. This political party is a good political party. That political party is a bad political party. He understands both of them are nonsense. But for the sake of Krishna conscious propaganda, for the time being, I can support this party. And for the time being, I can support that party. We are not interested in this party, that party, any party. We are interested in Krishna party. That's all. Anyone who is in line with God, we can accept. To whatever extent they are in line with God, that's all. As long as they are in line with God. The moment you give up God, I give you up. That's all. So he's not affected by these things. As long as one is in the material world, there is always a possibility of good and evil. Because this world is full of duality. But one who is fixed in Krishna consciousness is not affected by good and evil. Because he is simply concerned with Krishna, who is all good absolute. So he is not interested in material piety. He is not interested in material sinful life. He is interested in spiritual life, Krishna consciousness. Such consciousness in Krishna situates one in a perfect transcendental position called technically samadhi. So now this statement is meant for sadhakas. This sentence is meant for sadhakas. The previous sentences are about a siddha, one who has attained the sadhya. Throughout this chapter that should be understood. Whatever are presented by Krishna to be the natural characteristics of a perfect Vaishnava, they are all guidelines for those of us who are seeking that perfection. So Krishna is accomplishing two purposes here. He is telling this is the ideal Vaishnava. But he is also indicating this is what you must do in order to come to that plane. You do this, you come to that plane, that's all. So the activities of an ideal Vaishnava are spontaneously executed. Whereas one who is aspiring to become an ideal Vaishnava, they have to be executed with force. That's called Vaithi Sadhana Bhakti. By force we have to do it. Text 58. यदा संहरते चायं कूर्मोंगा नीव सर्वशः इंद्रियाणि इंद्रियार्थेभ्यः तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिता. वन हू इज एबल टू विथड्रॉ हिज सेंसेस फ्रॉम सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स एज अ टॉर्टोइस ड्रॉज इट्स लिम्ब्स विद इन द शेल इज फर्मली फिक्स्ड इन परफेक्ट कॉन्शियसनेस. द टेस्ट ऑफ अ योगी डिवोटी और सेल्फ रियलाइज सोल इज दैट ही इज एबल टू कंट्रोल द सेंसेस अकॉर्डिंग टू हिज प्लान. So this is a mature devotee. This is a mature yogi. This is the test. He is able to control the senses according to his plan. He is not a Godas. He is a Goswami. And Prabhupada emphasized that you cannot make spiritual progress until your senses are controlled. And to control the senses, we need to surrender to the process of Krishna consciousness, Mukhya Bhakti Yoga. We need to surrender to that. When we surrender to that, then Krishna will control our senses. Most people, however, are servants of the senses and are just directed by the dictation of the senses. That is the answer to the question as to how the yogi is situated. See, this question was asked. Arjuna had asked this question. Sitapragyasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava Sitadeh kim prabhasheta kim asita vrajeta kim. How does he sit? Kim asita. That doesn't mean how does he sit on the floor. It means how is he situated. So this is the answer to that question. How the yogi is situated. The senses are compared to venomous serpents. They want to act very loosely and without restriction. The yogi or the charmer must be very strong to control the serpents like a snake charmer. He never allows them to act independently. Why are the senses compared to snakes, serpents?
I mean, snake charmer, is it that person with... So according to the snake senses the most...
Yeah, but why are the senses compared to snakes? Why can't they be compared to chalk pieces?
Snakes are very dangerous, but sometimes people say that...
You can be controlled by a snake charmer. Snakes are very dangerous, they are poisonous. The senses are also poisonous. The senses, they are just as if a snake bites you, it may be fatal. Similarly, if I allow my senses to roam around, and they bite me in the form of sense gratification. Sense gratification is very dangerous. It's poisonous. It's poisonous. Therefore, the senses are compared to venomous serpents, not just ordinary, non-poisonous serpents. They are poisonous serpents. They are vishadharas. They are venomous serpents. And like serpents, serpents are very independent minded. So the senses are also, they want to do whatever they want to do. They want to act very loosely and without restriction. The yogi or the devotee must be very strong to control the serpents like a snake charmer. He never allows them to act independently. There are many injunctions in the revealed scriptures. Some of them are do-nots and some of them are do's. Unless one is able to follow the do's and the do-nots, restricting oneself from sense enjoyment, it is not possible to be firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. So, if I want to be firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness, then I have to do the do's and don't the don'ts. I have to restrict myself from sense enjoyment. If I want spiritual progress, otherwise it is impossible. It is impossible. This idea, this modern idea, that you should be yourself. You know, deep within you, you have so many hankerings. And so many feelings. You have to let it go. You have to be yourself. Give up all these artificial restraints and restrictions. Just be yourself. It's modern psychology. It's all nonsense. Complete nonsense. From the scriptural perspective, this is all complete nonsense. You cannot simply say... The scriptures are giving me a framework of artificial sense restraint. Even in this world, if you want to attain, let us say you want to enter into some prestigious university, like IIT for instance. Yeah, there is a joint entrance exam. You got to work hard, study hard, sit. Of course, previous good fortune is there. But even those people have to work hard. People have to work hard. You have to be controlled. You have to be disciplined. You have to be self-disciplined. So that principle is very much there. That we have to accept the discipline of spiritual life. Otherwise it is impossible. Unless one is able to follow the do's and the do nots, restricting oneself from sense enjoyment, it is not possible to be firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. It is very, very important. And this is the test. This is the test of a mature spiritualist. Has he controlled his senses? Or is he still trying to be himself? That be yourself is a tamasic ideology. It is a mode of darkness. Just be yourself. The best example set herein is the tortoise. The tortoise can at any moment wind up its senses and exhibit them again at any time for particular purposes. Similarly, the senses of the Krishna conscious persons are used only for some particular purpose in the service of the Lord and are withdrawn otherwise. Arjuna is being taught here to use his senses for the service of the Lord instead of for his own satisfaction. So Arjuna is told that look, you use your senses, but you use it when they are required for my service. When they are not required for my service, you don't. You don't use them. Like the tortoise. The tortoise is inside its shell. For the sake of eating, it moves the shell up, puts out its limbs and its head, and it goes and hunts for food. And once it eats, it immediately comes and goes back. So like that, when we have to utilize in the service, use the senses in the service of the Lord, then we utilize, not otherwise. And Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they used to quote one statement of Srila Rupa Goswami, which has since then become very famous in Gaudiya Vaishnava society. Anasaktasya vishayan yatharham upayunjataha nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya muchyate. They define what is, Rupa Goswami is defining what is appropriate renunciation. Appropriate renunciation means that you utilize things of this world in Krishna's service. Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. But there are certain conditions on how it should be done. The first condition is anasaktasya vishayan. One can utilize the things of this world, but one cannot be attached to any of the things which he is using in Krishna's service. Like Prabhupada gave the example of the airplane. He said we use an airplane to travel and preach Krishna consciousness. We also use a microphone to speak which we use to amplify a sound system. So we are using these in Krishna's service. But Prabhupada also said, if there is no airplane or there is no microphone, it is not that we won't do these things. Suppose there is no airplane. That doesn't mean we will stop traveling and spreading Krishna consciousness. We will still travel and we will still spread through some other means. So if there is no microphone also, will still speak Krishna consciousness. So now detachment from what you are using in Krishna's service means you are not depending on that. You are not depending on what you are using in Krishna's service. So I may say I earn a lot of money and use it in Krishna's service. But suppose you don't earn a lot of money, you still have to serve Krishna. Your service to Krishna cannot be affected by what you are doing in the name of Yukta Vairagya. Very important. Anasaktasya vishayan. Then the next, second condition is yatharham upayunjataha. You have to utilize them as required. as required. Whether it is required or not will be seen in, you know, by considering the scriptures, the predecessor acharyas, and the bona fide spiritual master. They determine whether it is actually required or not. It may not be required. It may not be required. Just like in when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he was in Vrindavan, and some of his Western disciples, they were using a razor shaving machine. So Prabhupada criticized them, saying, "This is all unnecessary. Unnecessary. Why do you need a whole machine just to shave? Why can't you just buy a simple razor? You know, it costs some a few rupees. You just finish the job. Now you have to get a machine. If the machine stops working, then you start worrying how to get the machine repaired. And then you have to contact the company. How much? It becomes a big... It becomes a cause for thinking. That thought you could have invested in Krishna's service directly. Unnecessary. So Prabhupada said, that's unnecessary. So it has to be actually what is required. It cannot be what is not required. In this regard, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told one story of one person who went to his guru and asked him for blessings for studying Bhagavad Gita. So he said, okay, you want to study Bhagavad Gita? You study Bhagavad Gita. You sit in one place and you study Bhagavad Gita. You engage in sadhana. So then he said, okay, fine. So he was sitting in a solitary one place and he was studying Bhagavad Gita and he was engaging in sadhana. Then one rat came by and the rat started to bite the manuscript, started to bite his cloth and all that. So then he began thinking while studying his Bhagavad Gita and doing his sadhana. He began to think about that rat. He said, oh, this rat has to be controlled. I should do something to control this rat. This is becoming a very serious problem. So then he said, let me get a cat and keep the cat so that the rat will be frightened of the cat and the rat will go away. So he kept a cat. So then the rat didn't disturb him so much. It went away. And the cat is going meow 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 and he's thirsty. He wants some milk. And then he felt affection for that cat. He said, oh, this cat is very important because without the cat I won't have the rat. You know, if there is no cat, then the rat will come back. Sorry. So then he thought, I should get the cat some milk. Well, how do you get milk? I need a cow for that. So then he got a few cows and he put a set up like a small shed, cow shed. And these cows were giving milk, and with that milk use, the cat was satisfied, and so things were going on. Then it became a headache. How do you manage this gowala, this man who's taking care of the cows and all this? And then so he said, well, actually, I need someone to take care of all this, so I need a wife. So he said, okay, so let me get married to a woman who will take care of the cows. So he got married. So he got married, and then the wife was taking care of the cows and all that. And then he got married, and the wife wanted some children, which is part and parcel of family life. So then he gave birth, and then she gave birth to some children also. Then the children were with him. He had to give time to them. He had to give time to his wife. He had to give time to the person who takes care of the cows. So then one day his guru came back and he said, hey, you were sitting alone in one kutir here and you were doing Gita study and sadhana. What is this? Some house here with some woman and children and cows and so many things are going on. And he said, no, but I am simply, this is my Gita samsara. This is my Gita family. You know, I started, all of this is only meant to study Bhagavad Gita. All of this for the sake of sadhana. So then the guru asked him, how much time do you get to study Bhagavad Gita now? He said, well, I hardly have any time, but I am serving Bhagavad Gita by taking care of all these people. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explained, this is bogus Yukta Vairagya. This is pseudo Yukta Vairagya. You start off in the name of it is required, and reality is not required at all. So under the guidance of a spiritual master who is competent to guide the devotee in obedience to the instructions of the liberated acharyas, Yukta Vairagya should be properly executed. Then one will come to the stage of functioning like this tortoise. Just as a tortoise, at any moment can wind up its senses and exhibit them again at any time for particular purposes. At any moment. Notice this. At any moment. That signifies anasaktasya vijayan. Anasaktasya vijayan. As required. If required, some activity will be, for some activity, the senses will be used. If not required, immediately it will be withdrawn. Arjuna is being taught here to use his senses for the service of the Lord instead of for his own sense satisfaction. Keeping the senses always in the service of the Lord is the example set by the analogy of the tortoise who keeps the senses within. So, since we are utilizing the senses always in the service of the Supreme Lord, since the Supreme Lord is also within us, that is comparable to a tortoise which keeps its senses within. That is the idea. Vishaya vinivartante nirāhārasya dehinaha rasavarjam rasopyasya paramdrishtva nivartate. Though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for sense objects remains. But seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. Unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. This is a very, very important point. This is a very important point. Prabhupada will remind us of this point later on. And the acharyas will also remind us of this point later on. That first of all, you need to have something superior to experience. Only then you can give up something inferior. Just like when Prabhupada was talking, he was giving instructions on how to run a gurukula. He said this. He said the teachers must be experiencing a higher spiritual pleasure. And then by association, the children will see that this person is actually happy beyond sense enjoyment. Oh, I wish I could also be happy. Otherwise, it is impossible to get out of the trap of sense enjoyment. Unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables. The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for eatables. So suppose you restrict a diseased person from certain foodstuffs. It is not that he likes to do it. He doesn't like those restrictions. And he still has his taste for those eatables. He's in his mind, he's still thinking about them. Oh, I wish I could eat them. I wish I could eat them. Similarly, sense restriction by some spiritual process like Ashtanga Yoga in the matter of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, etc. is recommended for less intelligent persons who have no better knowledge. So for people who have no spiritual, no experience of spiritual variety in transcendental Krishna consciousness, for those people these processes are recommended, because the idea is at least you just, sense enjoyment is like it's like itching. If you go on scratching the itch, then it starts paining and blood comes out. But since it's itching, you cannot stop scratching. So it is something like tying your hand. Suppose your hands are tied. That is not the solution. The solution is to take medicine by which the itch disappears. The itch disappears. When the itch disappears, then you don't scratch. But simply tying it up. What kind of solution is that? When my son was 2 years old, he had a habit of sometimes he would scratch and then blood would come. So my wife once, she just tied his hands like this. With a garland. She tied his hands like this with a garland. So that he could not scratch, he could not do anything. And he went over, it was itchy, he was still trying to do something. But he couldn't do it. So that it is meant for people who are unable to understand better. But one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness no longer has a taste for dead material things. So this is Prabhupada's point, that here is the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna. This is in fact the educational procedure given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also. That look, here is Krishna. Whatever you are looking for is at his lotus feet. If you experience Krishna, then you will no longer desire anything mundane. Like that famous example of Dhanurdasa, who later became a disciple of Ramanujacharya. At one time, when Ramanuja was in Srirangam, and there was this person who was carrying an umbrella and for one lady, some beautiful lady, and he was simply looking at her. He was carrying the umbrella for her and he was simply looking at her. Now such activities were considered abominable in Vedic culture. If a man in public is walking around with some woman who's not his wife, it's abominable. Nowadays it's very common. It was abominable and people were scorning him. But he was so absorbed in seeing this woman that he was holding an umbrella for her and he was relishing her so-called beauty. Relishing her beauty. He didn't even notice that people were screaming at him, scorning him, despising him. So then Ramanujacharya saw him and he sent one of his disciples in and asked that man to bring that man here. So then somehow they managed to stop him, get him out of that experience and brought him to Ramanujacharya. And suddenly he realized, these are all Vaishnavas, these are all very great souls, and here is Ramanuja, the great Acharya of the Vaishnavas, he's a sannyasi, he's said to be so great. And there was culture, so he understood. He fell at Ramanujacharya's feet. And Ramanujacharya asked him, so what is it you're looking? What is it you're looking? Why can't you be normal? Why can't you be normal? People are all walking, they're going and they're doing things in life. And you're just absorbed in this one woman. And you're holding an umbrella and looking at her. She's walking, you're also walking, but you're looking at her. And when you walk, at least you look at what you're walking towards, You're not even looking at that, you're looking at this woman. How can that be? And he said, but I've never seen any person more beautiful than this lady. And Ramanujacharya understood that this man is not married to her. Ramanujacharya, he said that, what if I show you someone who's more beautiful than this woman? He said, then I'll give up this woman. But it's not impossible because she's the most beautiful creation in the whole world. She's so beautiful. So Ramanujacharya took him to the deity of Ranganath, Garbhodakashaya Vishnu deity. Ramanujacharya, he prayed to the Lord, my Lord, please exhibit your causeless mercy on this fool. Here is someone who, instead of relishing your beauty, is relishing this some woman who's going to die, who's going to grow old. Instead of that, he belongs to you. We are all your eternal servants as spirit souls. We belong to you. We should be relishing your beauty, serving your lordship's lotus feet. This fellow is relishing this woman and serving her. Out of your causeless mercy, please reveal your beauty to him. So then Ranganath, being pleased by Ramanuja's prayer, he manifested his beauty. He revealed his beauty to this person. His name was Dhanurdas. So then he became so completely enchanted by the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he surrendered to Ramanujacharya and he said that from now onwards I'll simply become your servant. I don't need this woman. I don't need anything. I'll simply serve you. I'll simply serve the Supreme Lord. But Ramanuja had them married. So that is what Krishna is saying here. Rasavarjam rasopyasya paramdrishtva nivartate. By experiencing someone who is superior, by experiencing the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna, in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness, he no longer has a taste for dead material things. There are several instances of this. Prabhupada also referred to one Yamuna Acharya, who was the great, who was the grand spiritual master of Ramanuja. Ramanuja's guru's guru was Yamuna. And Yamuna was a king previously. given to sense enjoyment. But his guru, he rescued him from sense enjoyment, took him to Srirangam, engaged him in devotional service. He gave up his kingdom, everything. He just continued to simply serve the Lord as his eternal servant. And Prabhupada, he referred to that, because there is a famous statement by Yamuna that which he uttered later, that after my mind has become attracted to Krishna, now when I think of enjoying women, my lips curl with distaste and I spit at that thought. How could I have had such abominable desires to enjoy my wives, to enjoy my maids, to enjoy these women? A king has so much of facility in Vedic culture. A dutiful king. He is given a lot of privileges for sense enjoyment. So Prabhupada said these things are commonplace for Kshatriyas. But the same Yamuna, who was previously a king, he gave it up. And then he felt distaste. It's like even with our devotees, some of our devotees prior to taking to Krishna consciousness, they might have eaten all kinds of abominable foodstuffs. Like I know someone who's from Indonesia, and he would eat all kinds of things that moves. One day he was studying in school, and there was some insect which was moving across his book, disturbing. He took that and just ate it. Abominable. But after he took to Krishna consciousness, he's such a serious brahmachari, serious Vaishnava, serious servant of his spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, that he cannot even imagine that. He cannot even imagine. One day he was telling me that you cannot imagine how foolish I have been. Can you imagine? Some insect, I've eaten these kind of things. So he has that distaste. This is coming from factual experience of Krishna consciousness. It is very important that until we have a factual experience of Krishna consciousness, you cannot renounce. Renunciation always means renouncing something inferior after attaining something superior. This is what renunciation means. That is what is renunciation. Otherwise you have pseudo-renunciation, false renunciation, temporary renunciation. Real renunciation means you renounce something inferior for something superior. Like for instance, if you get some wonderful, favorite, delicious foodstuff and you are asked to give up some spicy, distasteful, ugly looking foodstuff which is half cooked, then technically that is renunciation. That is renunciation. Giving up something inferior for something superior. That is renunciation. And Krishna is giving that. And therefore, in our process is first of all to go on increasing activities which can produce a higher taste. And gradually we go on acquiring spiritual higher taste. And when we have that higher taste, then we can get out of lower taste. Just like, how do you climb stairs? You first put your foot on a higher step. Then you move the center of gravity to that. Then you take out your lower step and put it on this step. Then you put the next feet on a higher step. Then you move your center of gravity to that. Then you remove this. If they were to tell you that you stand on this, but you should put your feet there, both feet there, simultaneously, what, you jump up like a frog? That's not how you climb stairs. Same way it is in Krishna consciousness. Step by step, that is what Prabhupada is saying. But one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness. So while he is progressing, that is what is called progress. No longer has a taste for dead material things. Now this has to be done under the instruction of a spiritual master. We cannot do this ourselves. We need the help of Sajati Ashya Snigdha Mahatra Vaishnavas. We need the help of devotees who are more advanced than us, who are compassionate towards us, and who are spiritually like-minded. These personalities, we have to take advantage of their help and chalk and move along the path given by, chalked out by the liberated acharyas. Therefore, restrictions are there for the less intelligent neophytes in the spiritual advancement of life. But such restrictions are only good until one actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness. So the restrictions are good. Now if you don't have restrictions and you only have to depend on the taste of Krishna consciousness, that is also somewhat risky. So therefore, we have a double procedure. On one hand, we want to become attached towards Krishna, and for that we increase our Krishna consciousness. And on the other hand, we accept Varnashrama Dharma, which is basically a framework of renunciation. Varnashrama Dharma is nothing but renunciation. He simply says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. If you want, you can do that. If you want, you can do that. If you want, you can do that. But basically, it is don't do this, don't do this. The restrictions are much more than what you can do. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that spiritual progress entails two simultaneous activities. Paranashilanam pratyaharam cha. One is fixing the mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That is through Mukhya Bhakti Yoga. So we engage in these activities, Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavad Shravan, Mathuravas, Srimurti, Shraddhai, Sevan. On the other hand, if we also accept the restrictions of Varnashrama Dharma, they are very, very helpful. Because these restrictions, they prevent us from falling down. So that is called Pratyahara. So he has explained that the whole Varnashrama system is ultimately meant for Pratyahara. Pratyahara means withdrawing the senses from sense objects. Renunciation. Renunciation from something inferior. Withdrawing the senses from sense objects. And Paranushilana means absorbing oneself in the service of Lord Krishna. Bhaktivinoda also says, if one is fully absorbed in serving the Supreme Lord Krishna, then you don't need to depend on Pratyahara in Varnashrama Dharma. Because both are automatically accomplished. Both are automatically accomplished. In other words, if you are moving ahead, okay, and let us say somebody has got a rope and he's telling you, and he's trying to pull you, and you're catching that rope, and he's pulling you up through a stairs, let us say, and you are also holding and you're going up. That is one process. But if you have a tendency to always go behind, then you need to have somebody from behind pushing you up. So Varnashrama Dharma pushes you up. By teaching you renunciation, it is pushing you up. And on that side, somebody is pulling you up. Or like Pankajangri Prabhu once explained, that Krishna has a twofold strategy for bringing us to his lotus feet. Krishna comes and shows how wonderful he is, how beautiful he is, how kind he is, how soft-hearted he is, how whatever we want he is, basically. All attractive. He also reveals how the material world is miserable. So on one side, Krishna is attracting us from front. Come, 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 come. So we are there. Krishna is here, his colleagues. And Maya is behind. And Maya is pushing us through miseries. Don't turn towards me. If you turn towards me, I'll slap you nicely. Go towards Krishna. Go. So she's pushing you from behind. And Krishna is pulling you from front. So Pankajan Prabhu explained this correctly, accurately. This is actually what is going on. And Krishna comes and says, look how beautiful this is. See, happy. Spiritual world is the real world. Don't be distracted by this material world. It's all miserable. So we have to accept Krishna's invitation. But in case we hesitate, Maya comes from behind and nicely she is poking us. And Pankajan Prabhu said, there are threefold miseries. Miseries of the body-mind, miseries of nature, and miseries from other living beings. So these three miseries are called threefold miseries, tapatraya, threefold miseries. And Maya, you see Durga Devi, she often has a trishul. Trishul is a shula. It's a lamp with the three prongs in its front. And he said Durga's three prongs represent these threefold miseries. Miseries from body-mind, misery is from nature and misery is from other living entities. And with Trishul, she's got it right behind us. She's poking it. Look. You want to stop moving? You want to turn back? This is what you get. Nice Tritapa you get from me. And Krishna is saying, look, I have no Trishul. I have nothing. Come, I'm waiting for you. Since millions of births, I'm hankering for your association. Come. So Krishna is calling us and Maya is pushing us. So in both ways we are being pushed. But even though there is, this is technically called Vishaya Vairasya, distaste of sense objects, distaste due to sense objects. Vishaya Vairasya and Bhagavat Saurasya, the sweet happiness that comes in association with the Supreme Lord. Bhagavat Saurasya. So even though both are there. On one side you have spiritual tasty experience. Whenever we properly engage in Krishna consciousness is very, very pleasant. Very pleasant. It is actually very nice. When we do Krishna consciousness properly, it is actually very nice. Whether it is reading Bhagavatam, hearing a kirtan, it is actually very pleasant. It's very pleasing. That is called Bhagavat Saurasya, sweetness of the Supreme Lord. And the bitterness of sense enjoyment, Vishaya Vairasya. So one is sweet, one is bitter. So even though there are two impetuses for spiritual progress, one is Maya so terrible, so let me get out of it. Or Krishna is so sweet, let me go for it. Both are impetuses for moving towards Krishna. That is a fact. But in between these two, the sweetness of Krishna consciousness is more important than the bitterness of Maya. Because Maya, she can bewilder us. Maya can bewilder our intelligence. She can bewilder our intelligence. She can say, yeah, it is bad, but it's still okay. Come. So Maya can bewilder us. But Krishna will not lie. Krishna won't do like that. Krishna will simply pull you. Krishna will not bewilder us. He will simply enlighten us. So Bhagavat Saurasya is more important than Vishaya Vairasya. The sweetness of Krishna consciousness should be given more importance than the bitterness of Maya. So when somebody is having a weak determination to progress in Krishna consciousness, there are two things we can do. One is we can point out how the material world is miserable, and we must point out, that is a fact. And we should also point out the sweetness and wonderfulness of progressive Krishna consciousness, which we should also do. But between these two, we should give more importance to the happiness that comes from Krishna consciousness than the unhappiness that comes from Maya. So both impetuses are important, but the impetus of Krishna consciousness is more important. Because unless one is transcendently situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. So based on this shloka only, that policy is there. Therefore, restrictions are there for the less intelligent neophytes in the spiritual advancement of life. Even for us, there are still restrictions. The restrictions of Varnashrama Dharma are there. They are there. Because we are less intelligent, they are there. But such restrictions are only good until one actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness. So until we have a real taste for Krishna consciousness, unto that point, when one is actually Krishna conscious, he automatically loses his taste for pale things. And therefore, as a policy, at least in the bhakti marga, in the direct process, the policy is one increases one's Krishna conscious activities. And Rupa Goswami says, Syat Krishna Nama Charita Adi Sitapya Vidya Pitto Padapta Rasanasya Narochikanu Kin Twavarad Anudhinam Khalu Saiva Jushtat Swadvi Kraman Bhavati Tadgata Mula Hantri. He says the activities of Krishna consciousness are naturally sweet. That is his indication. He says Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastime, everything about Krishna is sweet. And then he says, just like sugar candy is sweet, but for a person who has a certain type of a disease, sugar candy appears very bitter. It appears very bitter. But then when a proper Ayurvedic doctor, physician, he prescribes a medicine made out of sugar candy for that person. So he is taking that sugar candy. That is his very medicine. That medicine will take away that disease. But while he is in the disease condition, the sugar candy tastes very bitter. But he simply has to tolerate it and go on taking it. If he goes on taking it, and he follows the rules and regulations for his that treatment, then a point will come when the disease will go away. When the disease goes away, then he will experience sweetness. It is not that suddenly he is experiencing new sweetness. It was always sweet. It was always sweet. And for everybody who was healthy, for them it was sweet. Only for that one person it was bitter. So similarly, we will also understand that everyone who is normal, normal means a liberated soul. That is normal. Uttamadhikari is normal. Everybody else is diseased. So for Uttamadhikaris, Krishna is sweet. Everything they are happy. Like Prabhupada, he said, he gave the examples of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. These three are our masters. Shad Goswami Prabhugam. Six masters. All Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we accept their leadership. And we struggle to satisfy them and please them in whichever way we can through the disciplic line. So Prabhupada, he said that they were all very prestigious in society. Chaktva Turna Mashesha Mandala Pati Shrenim Sada Tuchavat. And they rejected it as if it's insignificant. Insignificant. Bhutva Dina Ganesha Kau Krunaya Kaupina Kanthashritau. And they took to a life of Paramahamsa Sannyas, like mendicants. Gopi Bhavara Samritabdhila Hari Kallola Magnau Muhur Vande Rupa Sanatanau Rabhayugav Shri Jiva Gopalakau. And he explained that how they could renounce all these things. How can you renounce something unless you have something superior? And he said, yes, they had something superior. They were absorbed in pure love of Krishna. The love that is experienced by Krishna's gopikas and their maidservants, they were absorbed in that love. And because they are serving Krishna in the liberated condition, therefore they could easily give up all these things. Or like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, that's a description of King Bharata. King Bharata, when he was very young, he gave up his wife, children, empire. He was the emperor of the world. He gave up his empire in order to engage in Krishna consciousness. And Shukadeva Goswami, he was very appreciative of King Bharata. Even though King Bharata had some difficulties later in his life, it was settled over time. His spiritual progress was not, it was temporarily, there was a temporary disturbance in his life, that's all. But he did not have any reverse. So anyway, Shukadeva Goswami, he was greatly appreciative of King Bharata's determination. He said, King Bharata, he gave up his empire, he gave up his wealth, he gave up his Nishkantaka Rajya, that means a kingdom without any opposition. His young, beautiful, extremely beautiful wife, children, he gave up all that, like one gives up stool. Tatyaja Malavadduttama Shloka Lalasaha. He was such an exalted devotee of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, Uttama Shloka, that he gave it up like stool. Now when we give up stool, we don't lament that, oh, I gave up stool, this is the treasure of my body. We don't lament like that. You gave up. You give it up. You reject it. It's useless anyway. You're happy to pass stool. So similarly, when one becomes liberated, one renounces everything material or everything which is unhelpful in his Krishna consciousness, like he gives up stool. That is the type of renunciation which is real renunciation. Renunciation of that which is inferior, having obtained that which is superior. So first we obtain something superior and then you give up something inferior. Then there is no more lamentation and regret. This is authentic renunciation. Always you should keep in mind, whenever you see renunciation in Prabhupada's writings, it is understood renunciation of something inferior after having attained something which is superior. Unless the context specifies otherwise, this is the meaning of renunciation. When one is actually Krishna conscious, he automatically loses his taste for pale things. Pale things. See, pale. Pale means dull. Anything material is actually pale. But because we are deluded by Krishna's illusory potency, therefore we think it is glittering, it's beautiful, but it is actually pale. But the acharyas tell us it is actually pale. Okay, Gita Arghan. Shri Bhagwan Kavilayan. Jir Indriya Sukhe Jhato Kaam Ache Vaddha Ji Manodharme Dhai Pache Pache. The conditioned soul, he runs to fulfill his lust for sense gratification. Se Sab Kamana Teji Atma Bhagavane Sambandha Janiya Krame Hoy Aguane. But as tokhon janibe tushta sthita pragya sukhi e chhara ar je lok sakale dukhi. So sthita pragya is one who is actually happy because he has realized his relationship between atma and bhagavan, or he has realized his relationship with atma who is bhagavan. Atma in that context can be taken to be paramatma. So he is progressive and he is happy. All other people, anyone who is not a Sita Pragya, they are actually in great distress. Echada arje lok sakalai dukhi. Dukhe anudbignamana sukhe nahi spriha nija seba karje jar ekamatra iha. And he is only focused in rendering his personal services to the Supreme Lord. He is not disturbed by any material distress, nor does he have any hankering for material happiness. Bitarag shok bhoy krodh nahi jar sejan sthitadhi muni bitito sabar. This person is known as sthitadhi muni. Dekha smriti nahi jar shubha shubha ki batar. He does not even recollect that he has a body. Or in other words, he is not in the bodily concept of life at all. So where is the question of pious or impious activities for him? Sarvatra anabhisneha loka vyavahar. In his dealings with people, he is not excessively attached. Abhinanda dveshnai sarvahite rata. He is not happy when there is a cause for material happiness. Hey?
Sorry.
And he has no hatred towards anyone. Sarvahite rata, because he's always engaged in everyone's happiness. See, this is a very important point which Prabhupada will bring out later in chapter 4 and chapter 5. A very important point. That one who has attained the love of God is always trying to make others happy also by elevating them spiritually. Kodas indriya sukhe vichalita sada gosame hoyache dhir atmate sarvada tai se indriya sab Kurma angamata indriya bhogartha sada vishaye birata. He is not a godas. Go means it's the senses, and das means a servant. Godas means a servant of the senses, and Goswami means one who is a controller of the senses. Goswami is also the title that is given to anyone who is a sannyasi. And Prabhupada explains in his preface to Upadeshamrita, nectar of instruction, that unless one becomes a Goswami, one cannot become a pure Vaishnava. One has to become a Goswami. Officially, he may not be a sannyasi, but he has to become a Goswami. Otherwise, one cannot attain further spiritual progress. Vairagya kuriya hoi vishaya nivritti taha nahi stita pragya sabhavik vritti. Paramananda jani jeva jadananda chade stita pragya sai vir vishaya vihare. Having experienced Paramananda, great spiritual happiness, one who gives up the happiness of matter, that person is, should be understood to be truly heroic. He is a sthitapragya. Literally, sthitapragya sai bir bishaye bihare. While he is moving around his senses with the sense objects, he is actually heroically controlling his senses due to a higher taste. Text 54, Bhaktivinoda's first commentary. Etavat shravan karata, Arjuna Mahashayi kohilen. Having heard all this, Shri Arjuna said, Stita pragya artha, achala buddhi chukta bhakti digher lakhan ki. What are the characteristics of a person who is stita pragya? That means a person whose intelligence is fixed in spirituality. Evang sai stita pragya samadhistava jivan mukta purushagan mana apama stuti nindas sneha desh upasthit haile ki bolen evang bahya vishay sambandhe kirup acharan kore. How does such a person react? He is a samadhistha, he is fixed in samadhi, he is a jivan mukta. But how do these people behave? Or how do they talk when they face some glorification or some criticism, some honor, some dishonor, some affection, some hatred? How do they talk? And how do they behave towards external sense objects? Se samadhai janite ichha kare. Chakravarti. Samadhava chala buddhirti shutva tattvato yogino lakshanam pruchhati. So what are the factual characteristics of a yogi? What are the factual characteristics? He is asking. Sthita pragya siyeti sthita sthira achala pragya buddhir yasiyeti. Sthita pragya means a person whose intelligence, whose consciousness is fixed. Ka bhasha bhashyati anaya. Anaya iti bhasha lakshanam. Kim lakshanam iti artha. Sthita pragya se ka bhasha. What is his language? What is his language means what are his characteristics? Bhasha can stand for language. Bhasha can also stand for characteristics. Definition, literally. Kidrishasya samadhistasya iti samadhau stasyati iti tasya. Of a person who is situated in trance. Asyarthaha. Evam cha sthita pragya iti samadhistha iti jivan muktasya sangyat dvayam. The idea is, sthita pragyasya ka bhasha samadhisthasya keshava means that a sthita pragya and a samadhistha are both the same. So whenever Krishna talks about the person who is situated in samadhi, it's understood he's talking of the same person who's sthita pragya, whose intelligence is fixed. Whose intelligence is fixed is the one who is in samadhi. Kim prabhashayate iti sukha dukha yor manapamana yor sthitinda yor sneha dvesha yor va sam upasthityo kim prabhasheta spashtam swagatam va kim vadet iti arthaha. So the idea is, how does he talk? As Bhaktivinoda explains, how does he talk under certain circumstances? How does he talk means, how does he talk to himself? Or how does he talk within himself? Or how does he talk to others? Kim asita tad indriyana bahya visheshu chalana abhavah kidrishah. Oh, his senses don't go towards external sense objects? How is that? How is he situated? Rajayata kim teshu chalanam va kidrisham iti. How does he walk means, how does his senses go towards the sense objects? What type of sensory activity is that? 55. भगवान को हिलाएं। हे पार्थ, जे समय जीव समस्त मनोगत काम परित्याग करें, दैट टाइम व्हेन द जीव गिव्स अप ऑल डिजायर्स कमिंग फ्रॉम द माइंड एवं आत्माएं अर्थात प्रत्याहृत मने आनंद स्वरूप आत्मा स्वरूप दर्शने परितुष्ट होन एंड व्हेन हिज कंट्रोल्ड माइंड when his controlled mind finds satisfaction in the nature of the soul as being blissful, being different from the body. This is Bhakti Mishra Gyan. Takon taha ke stita pragya boli. Then I call him as a stita pragya. Chaturnam prashnanam kramena uttaramaha prajahati iti yavad adhyaya samapti. So in answer to these four questions, Lord Krishna, he presents the text beginning Prajahati from text 55 till the end of the chapter. So from text 55 to the end of the chapter, they are all the answer to these four questions. Sarvaniti kasminnapyathe yasya kinchin matropi na abhilasha ityarthaha. So he says, when a man gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification, prajahati yada kaman sarvan, when he gives up all varieties of desires for sense gratification, all. So by saying that, he makes it clear that under all circumstances, there is not even the slightest desire, there's not even the slightest desire to enjoy the sense objects. Manogataniti kamanam anatma dharmatvena parityage yogyata darshita. And he specifies, he gives up all desires coming from the mind. Manogatan, sarvan partha manogatan, which arise from mental concoction. Why does he say this? Because these desires, they're not coming from the soul, and therefore it is appropriate that one should abandon these desires, because these desires are not coming from the soul. Yadi te hi atma dharmasyuhu tada taha tyaktum ashakyeran vahner aukhnavad iti bhava. If these desires were to come from the atma himself, from the soul itself, then it is impossible to give them up. Just like you cannot give up, just like fire cannot give up heat is an internal characteristic of fire. It is an intrinsic characteristic of fire. It is an inseparable characteristic of fire. It is not a characteristic of something that is next to fire. Suppose you have fire in a candle, and that let us say it's covered by glass, and let's say it's a wax candle. And wax has certain properties, fire has some other properties. That heat that comes from the fire, it is intrinsically, inseparably connected with that fire. The characteristic of wax is not part and parcel of fire. It may be next to fire, but it is not part and parcel of that. For instance, wax melts. Wax is a substance which melts. Fire does not melt. Fire does not have that property. But it is adjacent to that fire. Similarly, the soul is in the body. Mind is, the soul is inside the subtle body. Subtle body is inside the gross body. The subtle body is the mind. The mind produces desires, material desires. The soul also produces spiritual desires. Spiritual desires are intrinsic to the soul, whereas these desires which Krishna is talking of, these are desires which come from the mind. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partham manogatan. When a man gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification which arise from mental concoction, they are arising from the mind, they are not arising from the soul. Therefore, Chakravarti says it is appropriate that one should abandon or it's appropriate that the liberated soul, soul in samadhi, even the soul who has attained Bhaktivishvajnana, is able to give it up. Because they are not part and parcel of the soul, they are part and parcel of the mind. Tatra hetu atmani pratyakrute manasi praptaha yaha atma ananda rupaha tena tushtaha. What is the cause for, how can he give up his such desires? The reason is because he is satisfied from the blissful experience of realizing that the self is different from the body. So he is able to realize that with a controlled mind. So again here you notice, because he has experienced the taste, therefore he is able to give up. He is able to give up these desires, mundane desires which come from the mind. Tatha cha shrutihi yada sarve pramuchyante kama yesya hridayasthitah athamatyo mrito bhavat yatra brahma samashnute iti. And he gives evidence from shruti for this, that when all of the desires which are situated in the heart, they go away, then that martya, that mortal being, he becomes immortal and he attains Brahman, the absolute truth. Dukheshannu dvignavana sukheshu vigat. Now these features, they are automatically applicable for one who has attained Kevala Bhakti. One was attained Kevala Bhakti. All the characteristics of people who have attained Bhakti Mishra Jnana, Bhakti Mishra Yoga, Yoga Mishra Bhakti, they are all automatically attained. Even in the direct process, all the characteristics of a karma, Nishkama Karma Mishra Bhakta, they are also automatically attained. Dukheshanad Vignamana Sukhesh Vigataspraha Vitaraga Bhai Krodhas Tithadhir Muni Ruchyate. This is text 56. शारीरिक मानसिक और सामाजिक क्लेश उपस्थित होइले हो जहाँ मन उद्दिग्न होइना तत्त्व विषये सुख उपस्थित होइले हो जहाँ स्प्रहा होइना एवं जीनी अनुराग भय और क्रोध होइते मुक्त तीन स्थिति दी तास्तित पुरुष है. He is not affected by miseries caused by the body, mind and society. His mind is not disturbed. And when there are causes for happiness from the body, mind and society, he doesn't desire that happiness also. He is liberated from material affection, from fear and from anger. Kim prabhashete tyasya uttaramaha. Now he answers the question, how does he talk? Arjuna asked four questions. This is this answer to the second question. The first question is answered in text 55. Dukheshviti Dvabhyam. In two shlokas he is answering this question. Text 56 and text 57. Dukheshu. So when he attains miseries, and then he gives examples of different miseries. Kshatipasa jvara shiro rogadi adishu adhyatmikeshu. In adhyatmika miseries, miseries which come from the body, body includes subtle body also, such as hunger, thirst, fever, headache, etc. Sarpa vyagradyutthiteshu adhi bhautikeshu. Miseries coming from other living beings, such as serpents, tigers, and so on. Ativata vrishtyadyutthiteshu adhi daivikeshu. And natural sources of misery, such as excessive wind, excessive rain, etc. Upasthiteshu anudvignamanaha. His mind is not disturbed. Prarabdham dukkham idam maya avashyam bhoktavyam iti swagatam kenachit prishtasan spashtam cha bruhan. na dukhe udvijate ityartha. His mind is not disturbed. He simply considers, oh, this is my prarabdha dukha. Prarabdha means, exactly as you were explaining the other day, life is like an arrow which has already been shot from the bowstring, it is already left. So you performed an activity in your previous life, and in this life the arrow is just moving through, so you are going to experience. This is called prarabdha karma. That is correct actually. So he understands that point. So he is not disturbed. He understands, yeah, it's, you know, these are my sinful reactions which are coming to me, and I have to experience this. So he tells that to himself, and if someone asks me, oh, you're not miserable, he says the same thing. What he's thinking, he tells others also. Tasya tadrsha mukha vikriya abhava eva an udvega lingam sudhyagamyam. And that his face is not transformed by these material phenomena happening to him. They are the symptoms that his mind is not agitated. This can be understood by an intelligent person. Kritrima anudvega lingavamstu kapati sudhiya parichitaha bhrashta eva uchyate iti bhava. The idea is, the implication is that one who artificially tries to put on a show of not being agitated, he is detected by an intelligent person as a kapati, as a cheater, as a deceiver, and he is understood as bhrashta, corrupt person. We'll continue this tomorrow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.